Paul and Silas that night in prison, they had a case of, if anybody had a case of being down in the Mully Grubs, it had been them. But you know what they did? They started lifting up their voices in praise and singing to the Lord. And you know, when you're going through something, try that. The Lord is faithful. He will always keep his promise. You start praising his name, you start talking about him, you start meditating on him, he always comes. Amen. So just always remember that as you're going through something. I was thinking about Jonah and the whale down there by himself. He didn't have nobody to call on the phone, nobody to talk to pick him up, right? All he had was the promise that he turned himself toward the temple at Jerusalem and prayed, lift up his hands and pray that God would hear. How did he know what direction Jerusalem was? Down there in the fish. Sometimes I've often wondered if he was down there moving in every direction just to make sure he got the right one, you know. But the whole thing is, it didn't matter, right? And you put your mind toward the promises of God and look to those promises. God will come and hear from heaven. Amen. And so I pray that we do that tonight. Amen. And as we stand and get ready to go to the Word, Brother Daniel is going to be ministering for us tonight. So, amen. We'll sing on. Only believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And all they believe. And all. thank the Lord for being willing to come to be with us. You know, ain't that wonderful? It's no matter where you're at, His presence will come down. And I just pray that it never gets common to us.
Right.
You know, I want it to always be just a wonderful thing. Just tell you a little testimony. Just as Brother Tony grabs his cedar or goes to the bag back there, I just want to tell you a little testimony. I was at work the other day, yesterday, and it was late in the evening, and actually the day before, it was the day before yesterday, but it was late in the evening, and I was doing a car deal, and we're wrapping everything up, and there's a couple, a mother and her son, and the presence of the Lord just dropped down over my desk where we were sitting there, and it was just so, I was like, oh my gosh, he comes, and the boy and the mom looked at one another and said, wow. He said, that's real. I said, I'm telling you guys, this is the God I serve. I said, He visits me like this. I said, He wants to be in your life. I'm telling you, He wants to be in your life. I pray, God, please don't ever let that get common to me. You know, we are on a mission here to reach souls, you know, to be a light. And I just want to say, God bless you. I love you. I'm Brother Tony. We sure do love you, brother. We're so glad you're doing better. We're going to pray that he just gets gooder and gooder, brother.
Amen.
And we love Brother Tony. Sister, they said, that you know, you guys do a lot of sacrifice that people don't know about. And thank you for that.
Amen.
I appreciate it. I know it's got to get mighty discouraging sometimes. But you know what? Thank you.
Amen.
We appreciate it. And we're in this fight. I pray the Lord will help me to use my broken language to get this thought across to you that the way I feel He gave it to me. I want to speak to you on a thought, redemption unveiling. Redemption unveiling, and it's going to sound awful awkward in the way we go towards this text, but it's exactly how He gave it to me. So let's just ask the Lord to just take control.
Amen.
St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment, and body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye little of faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you, Lord. Lord, I believe that these are the words of life. Lord, you're the only real source of life, Lord. Lord, if you don't come to this service, it'll be just a lodge, Lord. It'll be just like any other service anywhere, Lord. But Father, if you come, Lord, we have life. Lord, I ask you that you would feel welcome here. Lord, help. Ask you to use this piece of clay, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. I want to give my whole body to you, my whole spirit, everything that I am, Lord. Lord, I ask you that every person that's hearing your word today would do the same, Lord. To say, Lord, I give my whole self, everything I am, I give myself over to your word, give myself over to your spirit, Lord. Do with my life what you want to do, Lord. I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, the earth has worked for thousands of years because it has worked according to God's provided way. And, you know, when God created the trees and the flowers, you know, they didn't try to manufacture anything. The animals don't try to manufacture anything. And, you know, there are science books that are out there that will describe all the steps of animal life, botany life, even human life. And no matter what kind of life it is, you know, that deer, that tree, that human, whatever it is, they don't have to look at a schematic and say, well, I need to, the tree, I need to bloom right now He doesn't have to do that because there's a life inside of it. There's a source of life, which is God. And God causes that thing to operate exactly the way it's supposed to. So all it's got to do is it has to eat and it must abide in the correct habitation that God has ordained for it to be in. And the life will come automatically. And, you know, it's not something that's worked up. It's not something that's pumped up. And I believe that with all my heart. That's something Brother Tony and I have agreed on so much over the years. Is I don't want anything pumped up. I don't want to be someone that you have to have an air pump pumping you up all the time. Because I don't believe that's the way it is. I believe that you yield yourself to the Spirit of God and the life just comes. You know, I love the fact that when you're going down the road, you can see the trees and there's no blooms. But you can go the very next morning by the exact same trees and they're bloomed the next day. It's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly the way I believe the rapture is going to be. Right. You know, someone's going to see us at the workplace and say, I don't see nothing different, but there's going to be something different. Overnight, something's going to take place. Yeah. Because we are abiding in the right atmosphere, in the right habitation, and we're eating on His Word. Amen? Yeah. A tree does not manufacture apples, but if he is a tree, all he's got to do is drink and push. And you know, that's exactly the way we as sons and daughters of God don't try to manufacture the life of Christ. Just drink His Word, drink His Spirit, and keep pushing. Amen? Amen. Keep pressing toward the Lord. I want to go to Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 12. I got a long ways to try to get to where, at the end of this. I'm going to try to move fairly quickly, if that's okay. To the chief musician, says the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide the face of my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David had fallen with Bathsheba, and David felt dirty. You know, David had sinned against God, and he had gotten desperate to get back in fellowship with God. And I would that man would be that way whenever you recognize, I am no longer in fellowship with my Maker, but I desire to get back. David got desperate before the Lord. He said, oh Lord, don't leave me like this. Create in me a clean heart, God. Don't leave me in this condition. David got desperate before God, and God heard his cry. Right. And that's exactly the way God will be for men today. Whenever they say, God, don't leave me like this. I don't want to be like this, Lord. Help me, Father. And you know, as we as Christians, we are a light in this world, and we're showing somebody you're in darkness. You don't know you're in darkness. Jesus Christ will take the sin completely away.
Amen.
And take the desire away. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ not only covers the sin, it destroys the sin.
Yeah.
Listen to this quote. He says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you never let anybody tell you anything else. He's raised from the dead. He lives tonight supremely. He's here in the building now. Certainly He is. Wherever two or three are gathered together, I'll be in their midst. No matter how small the church is, even two or three together, I'll be there. He couldn't lie. He can't lie. And notice now, like this street, here's where mortal lives. Mortals are influenced from an outside world. I should understand by the grace of God, I deal with spirits, and I should know what I'm speaking of. And I look along through the dark mass of gaiety, and every once in a while, you'll see a little lights burning. Lights, there you are. It's your table today. Lights are burning. That's Christians in the darkness giving light. See what I mean? Now look at this here. The sinner is influenced by his spirit because he has a spirit. And the wrong gives influence, and the right gives influence. And those who are dominated from with dark blackness and separation and dominated from the underworld of devils. Look, the first thing you hear when you're going out of this line now, get this straight. Here's where mortals live. A whole conglomeration in blackness and darkness, and in there is little lights placed now and then. That's Christians born again of light. You are the light that is set on a hill, a candle that is set in a room that gives light to all room. That's what a Christian is amongst darkness. You're supposed to shine where it's dark. Now notice, the wicked or the unbeliever is influenced from beneath. There is a trinity of hell like there's a trinity of heaven. There's influence by evil powers. Notice the first thing when you start down, the first thing you find is a realm here that's got the unsaved in it. That's right. That's where Jesus went and preached to the souls that were in prison and repented not in the long suffering in the days of Noah. The next is demons. The next is hell itself. The world is influenced by these demon powers through this trinity. And the Christians are influenced by a spirit too, the Holy Spirit. The first is the Holy Spirit above for the Christians. The next layer is angels. And the next, heaven is God. Holy Spirit, angels, and God. The Holy Spirit come and passed angels and come down to redeem sinners. Say amen. His Holy Spirit is here to be our influence. And you will be influenced by one or the other. And the one that you give yourself over to, that will dominate your life. Amen. We are in a spiritual warfare, and the trees and the animals are not in this warfare because they don't have a soul. So Satan's not after the tree or the deer or the bear to try to get him to build some kind of graven image and worship. He doesn't do that because, you know, he doesn't have a soul. But Satan will come against man because man has a soul, and that's what Satan is after. Satan wants man's soul. Can you say amen? We got an enemy that wants your neighbor's soul. He got an enemy that wants your soul. We got an enemy that wants your sons, your daughters, your mom, your dad, your uncle. Yeah. We got an enemy that's coming after that. And that's why we are to be a light. Yeah. God's greatest possession in this life is man. Now, all of creation was under Adam's dominion. And when Adam fell, they fell also. Right. So all of the earth was in a fallen condition, surrounded by darkness. And there is a spiritual darkness all over the world, but there is a light in the darkness, and that is born-again Christians. And I say this, and I want to try to show you something. The point of showing the opening scripture, and I feel the Spirit is trying to show us, is it's so easy to get caught up in raiment, food on the table, paying the bills, living this life, and doing all these things, and you don't realize your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. You know, there's trials in this life. We're beginning to consume with the trials in this life, and that's all you're looking at. Your heavenly Father knows what you're going through. But in the midst of all this going on down here, there was redemption being unveiled upon the earth, where God is redeeming not just the earth, but man. Right. Not just man, but the earth.
Right.
Redemption's taking place, and we don't want to get so consumed on just daily living that we miss something that's happening right in our midst. Redemption is being unveiled. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In order for man to have the light, he must have the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, Scripture, that's the Scripture. He says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you have no part of Him.
Yeah.
How serious is it to have the Spirit of God? It's the most important piece of the puzzle. Because
right.
You know what? Otherwise, you're walking by do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. But when you get that Spirit on the inside of you, it bears it out automatically.
Right.
And I believe with all my heart, that is redemption. God putting His Spirit inside man. Man can have the Spirit on his flesh, and he will act that according to that Spirit as long as the Spirit's on him, regardless of what Spirit it is.
Right.
You get the Spirit on dancing on you, you'll get up there and dance. You get the Spirit of whatever it is, you'll do it as long as that Spirit's on you. And when it leaves, you'll go back to whatever you was. And that's exactly what it is. Even this is what one of the greatest eye-openers to me of the message of the hour, showing how can someone speak in tongues and everything and then live a different life and do whatever they want to do. How? Because the Spirit of God was upon them. And then when the Spirit left, they went right back to the same old thing. And see, that's what I love about when Jesus was here on the earth as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus could come as close as hugging them, putting his arm around him, but that's as close as he could get. But whenever Jesus left, he said, it's expedient for you that I must leave, because that way the Spirit can come back. Because then the Spirit is not just on your flesh, but it's actually in your soul inside of you. And it transforms you. Amen?
Right.
It's the Holy Ghost inside man. Jesus was God in the flesh, and He had to come to the revelation of who he was. And Jesus already had the Spirit of God, and that's why he could act the way he was. And I love this. I listened to the message of Brother Tony preached the other day, and I just said, amen, Brother Tony. But he says, Jesus comes in the capacity of man, and the reason he did that is he showed how to overcome as a man. And he did that by the Word and by the Spirit.
Right.
You know what? Jesus said, I can do nothing unless the Father showed me.
Right.
He had to wait for the Spirit. And then whenever Satan come to tempt him, he said, it is written. Mm-hmm. He didn't try to compete. He didn't try to give his opinion. He didn't try to go by the day. He said, it is written.
Mm-hmm.
He overcome him by the Spirit and by the Word. And how will we overcome Satan? By the Spirit and by his Word.
Right.
Not just the Word, not just the Spirit. Spirit and truth.
Amen.
Spirit and the Word. Amen?
Amen.
St. John 16:5-7 says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus was going to leave in the flesh, but he's going to come back in the Spirit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's pull of trying to bring this picture to you. But see, now he himself, the body, Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. But he sent back the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was upon him. Now he had it without measure. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him. I just got a little spoonful. That's what we have. Got it by measure. But if I took a spoonful of water out of the ocean and brought it up here and tested the chemicals in it, the same chemicals as in the entire ocean is in that spoonful, just not as much of it.
Right.
See, I am talking, I'm watching something. That's this. Something's grabbing his attention while he's saying this. See, as I'm talking, I'm watching something. You're aware that something's going on. Now, if the audience can see that, standing between me and that woman stands that light that you're looking at on the picture. There he is. Now, it makes me feel good. I know he's here. I was a little worried at first, but he's here now. You're aware that something's going on. I want you to know, to witness to the audience if it's so or not. Just a moment ago, a real sweet, comfortable-like feeling. Just a nice, comfortable feeling. That's right, isn't it? Now, if the Lord Jesus will let me know something about you, I know nothing. But if he could tell me something that you have been or something like that, if he would tell you what you have been, he would know what you will be. If he could tell you that, you would be the judge whether it's correct or not. You are troubled with something with your hip, I believe. Something wrong with your hip. That's what you want me to pray for. Is that right? Raise up your hand so the people can see. All right. Do you believe now with all your heart? Now, just a moment, see, so that you won't. You'll thoroughly understand. It wasn't a guess. But that's as much as Jesus done to the woman at the well. That's right. Is that right? That's right. But now, just to let you know that he is keeping his word. That proves it. You say, it could have been a guess, Brother Branham. How could I guess that when right now I don't know what I told it? I'd have to go back and come off the tape. Now, be reverent. Now, that's for the message. It is I. Be not afraid. Ain't that something? The characteristic of that spirit that come, he said, it is a comfortable spirit.
Right.
Ain't that awesome how the words of the scriptures and how it actually happens right in front of you, it's exactly identification. It's the same identification. It was a comforting spirit. Who was it? It was him. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. It was Jesus Christ that come down. The man, Brother Branham, was nervous until he saw the comforter come. The man, Brother Brown, had a gift, but it was Jesus that was doing the discerning. And when the Spirit left, it was just the man again. It was just Brother Brown again. And you know, to me, I take comfort in that. I'm seeing this was not a man. This was the Holy Ghost. What was God doing? He was trying to unveil somebody to the people. I am here.
Right.
So he can give a message. So he can give a word to get people's attention. Look, this is emphatic proof that I am here and I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man can't do this.
Right.
And he was trying to show that there's light in the evening time. Mm-hmm. And whenever we receive that word under that anointing, we become that light.
Right.
Amen. I believe that to be the absolute truth. It is by a revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Many patients got healed in the flesh and they got the spirit on their flesh. And it's one thing to get it in on your flesh, and it's another thing when you get it down inside your soul, and it changes who you are.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. I've seen it, brother and sister, in my own life. I've seen it in the others. I'm telling you, there's a difference. Amen. You get the Holy Ghost on your flesh, you go to a camp meeting, and I'm for it, okay? I'm perfectly for camp meetings. Praise the Lord. Have a great time. But many, many, many times, you'll see they'll have the Holy Ghost on their flesh during the service. They'll shout, they'll jump, they'll do all this stuff, and then when they get out of the service, a few days, they go right back to the same old thing. Wow, they got the Holy Ghost on their flesh, but they never got down deep inside their soul. And Brother Branham talked one time about Billy Graham. He said he could bring all these altar calls. He was the greatest altar call preacher probably ever was. People by the 10,000s would come up to the altar, say, I love Jesus, do all their quotes, whatever they do. And you know, so be sincere. And then they would leave, and he'd come back, and he couldn't find 10 that were serving the Lord. He couldn't find 10 out of all the work that had taken place. And Brother Brennan one time talked about, what's the problem? He said, because you've got to come to a point where you die out to your old man and then allow that Holy Ghost to come on the inside of you. And that Holy Ghost is the one that will live that life.
Amen.
Amen. But you got to die out to that. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about, I die daily.
Right.
If he had to die daily, brother and sister, how much more should we have to? This guy right here is your worst enemy. I don't mean Brother Daniel. Your God, you look in the mirror, it's your flesh. It's your worst enemy. Because you have to crucify that thing every day. Put him back in his place, because this guy will keep trying to rise up.
Right.
Something will happen. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. You get frustrated. What is it? This guy.
Yeah.
This guy will get rose up, but then the spirit inside you tames him right back down.
Yeah.
This guy will rise up. This thing will tame him right down. It's a war. It's a battleground.
Right.
Inside your body.
Yeah.
Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Think of it, the trees, the creation, the deers, they are groaning within themselves for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because whenever Adam fell, they fell.
Right.
Can you think they don't want to live like that anymore? Could you imagine that the lion used to lay down with the lamb? Definitely the lamb don't want to do it no more. Imagine getting ate by a lion. Sometimes we think we got trials over here. We don't have to get chased by lions or hippos or whatever they get run by, you know.
Right.
Imagine that creation is groaning within itself for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because in the midst of you trying to pay your bills, in the midst of trying to live this life, creation itself was falling into this fallen condition too. Because why? They were under Adam's dominion. And whenever Adam fell, they fell with Adam.
Right.
But when they saw the manifestations of the sons of God, they got groaning within them. They know whenever he goes back to his position, we're going back to our position. Because God redeems the earth the same way he redeems man.
Right.
Amen. Amen? A tree is praising the Lord and groaning.
Right.
Come on, Sister Shirley, come to manifestation. Come on, Brother Tony, come to manifestation. Amen. Come on, Malachi, come to manifestation. We're almost there. Come on, imagine the tree, the fish, the lion, the bear. Come on, there's something inside of it's groaning. I don't want to be like this anymore. And you know what? That's the way the sons of God are. We are groaning within ourselves. Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore in this world. I want to go where I'm called to go.
Amen.
Amen. It's a groaning. Just like a mother that's groaning to give birth to a baby. We're groaning for that manifestation. In Revelation chapter 5, this is our last scripture for the night. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as he had been slain, seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And has made unto our God king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, beasts and elders, and number of them was 10,000s, 10,000s, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And catch this last scripture. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen.
What was it? Whenever he claimed that book, it wasn't just for man. It was for the earth too.
Amen.
Amen.
They were rejoicing because not only had they been purchased, but they were purchased. And Brother Graham talked about spiritual amnesia, and I'm fixing clothes. I know it's late, but whenever Brother Graham talked about spiritual amnesia, he talked about how that a man will get halt between two opinions, and he'll begin to forget who he is.
Yeah.
So a big trial can take place, and you forget who you are, and that's a terrible thing to happen for you to forget who you are.
Right.
But you know what? He talked about that little soldier guy. Hey, that little boy, they didn't know where he was from, but he had a bandage on his head, and he was on the train, and they stopped somewhere for some water or whatever they did, and this man just started walking. He didn't know where he was going. He just started walking. They started to grab the patient. They said, no, just let him alone. Let him walk. And this man, he didn't know who he was, but what was it? He got around some familiar surroundings again.
Right.
He began to walk. He said, going down a little trail, going up to across a creek, and they just followed behind the man, and he went on up. There's a little old house sitting up there. And an old man and old woman come off the porch. Said, our baby boy's come back. See, there was something inside him that got around familiar surroundings and it helped him remember who he was.
Right.
You know what? I believe that's the way to do with every creature. Whenever they begin to see the sons of God come into full manifestation, I believe even they get spiritual amnesia, begin to say, that's Eden. That's the Garden of Eden. That's it right there. Something inside them began to rejoice because even the trees, the fish, sister, all we got to do is put ourselves in that environment. They're not happy. are.
Amen.
You know, you didn't become a son. You already are a son. Right. You remembered it. Right. You don't notice. You'll hear truth. You're like, man, I remember that. Remember that from somewhere. How do you remember that? Because you've been redeemed.
Amen.
And you know what redeemed is? You've been bought back.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine me going to a pawn shop and going and say, I want to redeem that .22 rifle there that I've never owned in my life. I want to redeem that. No, that's not redeeming. That's buying. That's buying a .22 rifle. But if I've got that thing in the pawn shop and I go back and buy the same .22, that's redeeming. That's paying for something that was already there. And that's exactly the way the Lamb's Book of Life is, brother and sister. He is redeeming you that was already there.
Yeah.
Well, the foundation of the world. I heard something on the radio the other day, and I was like, I don't mean to be critical, but he said, you know, you can make somebody in heaven that was never there, but you can put them there. Like, no, that's not true. We were already there before the foundation of the world in his mind. He is the Alpha and Omega. He knows he knows the end of the beginning. He is so in control of our life.
Right.
That even whenever we can say, I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to go my own way. If your name's in that book, you're coming.
Yeah.
If your name is in that book, you can tell yourself, I quit. You can quit all you want to.
Yeah.
But you've got an intercessor. You got somebody that's interceding for your name every day until every name in that book comes manifest.
Amen.
And when that last name comes manifest, we are going in a rapture.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart, what are we waiting on? That last seed.
Yeah.
There's a manifestation of that seed. You know, if I was to put the manifestation of Noah Black inside the scripture, if I was to put that inside the scripture, there would have to be a Noah Black come to full manifestation.
Right.
Are you catching what I'm saying?
Right.
If I took the name of a Noah Black and put it down and inside a book, for that to come to manifestation, that means inside that book there is a description of what that Noah Black would become.
Right.
And whenever he becomes that manifestation, if he grows up, going through trials, going through tests, going through potty trains, going through school, going through trying to pay the bills, going through trying to get his driver's license, going through trying to get through college, trying to get through life, every bit of his struggling, and every bit of his struggles down here on earth, there's something higher up in heaven of a name written.
Right.
And that's the real manifestation.
Amen.
The real manifestation isn't becoming a doctor or a mechanic or something like that on this earth or having a big house. The real manifestation is for you to become the fullness of Christ in this hour. And we've got somebody interceding for us. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
We have somebody interceding for us. Jesus Christ is interceding for you until you make it. Because you know what? He's our Savior. We're not our own Savior.
Right.
It's like being in the water and you're drowning. And I need a lifeguard to save me. Let me save myself. No, you're not saving yourself. Who's saving you? The lifeguard.
Right.
And who is it that's saving our children? Jesus.
Amen.
So what do we got to worry about? Jesus is still a lifeguard that has not changed.
Amen.
Jesus is still the Redeemer that has not changed.
Amen.
The circumstances have changed. That don't matter. He's the same Jesus.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In your health, you may get the bad sickness and you're going to die of cancer. My healer hasn't changed.
Amen.
It don't matter what the name is. He's the devil. That's all it is. He's the same Redeemer. He's the same Savior. He's the same Provider. He's the same Intercessor. All we've got to do is trust Him.
Amen. Amen.
Let's all stand. It's hard on Wednesday. I was talking about Tony. It's hard on Wednesday nights because you got this bite, all that you want to put out, but you know people are tired and it's Wednesday night. And it's just hard. It's tough sometimes. But I pray that you get a blessing from what I pray that, you know, and I'm going to tell you the advice I give my kids quite often, my wife. When a minister's speaking to you, try to catch the message of what he's trying to say. Because, you know, you don't realize that there are battles that he's fighting behind the scene, if you can only see it. And what it is, a man, just like Brother Brenham said, I was nervous until the angel of the Lord came. When I saw him, this now I feel better now. That's exactly the way it is with a minister. Whenever he's got to come up before people, he is nervous until that presence comes down and he shows you what to say. Because, you know, you can come up here with anything from this Bible and read something and be truth. But, you know, it's one thing just for it to be truth, and it's another thing to be exactly what God wants you to speak at that time. You know, when you hear me say, I love a fiery serpent, that's what I mean by fire. It don't mean like shouting. It's that oil. It's that fire inside that warms your heart. And that's every minister's cry of his heart is he wants to bring something to you that's not just a word, but something that's a timely word for you that will sustain you for your journey.
Amen.
And that is the cry of minister's heart. Is that true, brother?
Right.
Amen.
So always remember, whenever he's preaching, always remember, what's he trying to say? What's the Spirit trying to say to me? We'll pray and watch Brother Tony to come. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I love your people, Father. I ask you to forgive me of my shortcomings and myself, Lord. I just pray that each person got something from this service, Lord, that they can be edified in your word, Lord, and sing more of who they are in your word, Lord. And Lord, that we can have increase, Father. Lord, bring increase into our life, an increase of love, an increase in our devotion to you, Lord, an increase that we will love one another, Lord, because that is how we know we have love for you, is when we have loved one for another. Oh God, I ask you that you put more of a love in us for your word. Lord Jesus, would you search our hearts? As the prophet talked about, you just got to get rid of a lot of the nonsense, the workups, and all of that stuff. He said, just be real. And don't try to pump something up. But he said, you just got to get all that trash out. And he said, the greatest thing that you have that can pull every bit out of your life is love. Lord, I ask you that your love would burn in our hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We love you. We desire you in our life. In Jesus' name.
Excellent thoughts. Excellent word.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Daniel read this scripture there at the beginning about worried about food, raiment, and all those different things. You know, Jesus tells the parable about the seed being sown. And one of the things he said was the seed being sown there was some fell among thorns, and the thorns rose up and choked. And he said, Jesus said that the seed that fell among thorns, that was with the word, and it fell into the lives of people. And then the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, that it became unfruitful. That's just another parable telling the same thing you were saying, that if we are so worried about this life and things, you know, it's not a sin to want to try and take care of your family or have a, you know, whatever. But if that's what consumes us, it will choke the word in our lives.
Yes.
Amen. So we always want to have the word to become first place in our lives. And he was talking about having the Spirit upon your flesh. And that's one of the mysteries of this day.
That's right.
Right? And so how that, and we definitely needed it. Right, I come up in Pentecost, and I see a lot of things in Pentecost that back there, everything that spoke in tongues, they call it God. But I've seen them do just exactly what Brother Daniel said, be shouting, speaking in tongues and everything else, and then go out, and within a day or two, you couldn't tell them they'd ever had any experience with the Lord. And so having the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your flesh and still be lost, was a mystery of the day. And so when he was preaching that, I had never thought about it, but my mind went back to the Old Testament. Remember Saul?
Yes.
Saul, the Spirit of God came on Saul,
yes,
so much so that he prophesied, and the people said, is Saul one of the prophets? Remember reading that?
Yes.
Right.
A little while later, evil spirits came on Paul, on Saul. Right?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So you can have good spirits and bad spirits on you, and that's just on your flesh, but it has nothing to do with what's down inside.
Right.
But we're not true regenerated, born again seed of God unless that happens down in the soul. And if that happens there, it'll hold you.
Amen.
I remember speaking to a friend of mine years ago. We would talk back and forth through tape. We would record messages and mail them to each other. And that's what I told him. I said, the only thing I can come to the conclusion is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost on a person who's not predestinated of God, it's just on their flesh. That's all there is to it. But if that same Spirit comes on a person who is a seed of God, it will quicken that seed down inside. They will be born again. Amen. And so we're thankful. You know, Brother Ram said that the predestinated is the only ones that are considered in redemption. Because like Brother Daniel said a while ago, to bring back.
Yes.
You can't go back there if you weren't, be redeemed back if you weren't there.
Right.
So we just have to realize that there's part of us that was there. And that's what God has taken back.
That's right.
So that's the part we need to put a lot of confidence in, right? Not into something else. Put the confidence in the thing that overrides everything, overrides flesh, mind, imagination, to the thing that will hold you. And put your confidence there.
Amen.
Brother Bam said so many times in discernment, he would say to people, see, that's a real nice, sweet, humble spirit that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
yeah.
That's the presence of the Lord when he comes. And I can tell you the several things here, thought process, Brother Daniel was speaking on tonight are right in line with what I have on my heart to share Sunday, unless the Lord changes it. So I really appreciate that there is a channel of inspiration that the Lord sends.
Amen.
Amen. For his people. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Amen. Very, very good. Amen. Let's just sing I Love Him, and then I'll let you go. Too worried about the ones in the family that are good Christian believers.
Yeah,
yeah, they're solid. They know what it's all about. But there are those who need the Lord and those who are hurting and don't understand and those sorts of things. And I just pray that through all this whole process that God will speak to their lives, their hearts, and help them come to the place of understanding that God would have them. Amen. So we'll sing this again and you can be dismissed.
Oh, I love you because